The Jesuit religious order has named Father Joseph Marmion as one of their members who potentially abused many, many people and has appealed to anyone he hurt to come forward. In a highly unusual move, the order said Marmion, who died in 2000, had sexually, physically and emotionally abused boys when he was on the teaching staff of Belvedere College from 1969 to 1978. The Jesuits said they were contacted by a former pupil 2 years ago who met with the order's provincial, Father Leonard Maloney. In a statement, the order said this person had been abused by Marmion when he was 13 and that he wanted his abuser publicly named so that others could come forward for help and support. Marmion had also taught in Crescent College in Limerick and Clongowes Wood College in Kildare. We're joined this morning by Maeve Lewis, Chief Executive of the support organisation One in Four. Maeve, good morning.
Good morning, Audrey.
Thank you for joining us. The list of places where Marmion worked, Crescent College, Clongowes, Belvedere, but then after the abuse was revealed at Belvedere, according to the Jesuit statement, he was moved by the order to Paris, to the Jesuit community there, and then back to Dublin to the Gardiner Street Jesuit community. And then in 1990, he was appointed chaplain at St. Vincent's Private Hospital in Dublin. So the potential for a large number of victims is great, isn't it?
Indeed it is, Audrey, and I understand from statements that the Jesuits have made that they're aware of many, many people who were abused by Joseph Marmion in Belvedere College. But I think we can assume that other boys may well have been abused in the other schools, the other Jesuit schools that he worked in. And I suppose we also don't know the access he may have had to children in his postings after he was removed from Belvedere. So I think we could be looking at very large numbers of victims of this abuse.
And the Jesuit statement says, and I quote, "We recognise that the subsequent appointments should not have been made." Are you concerned too at the length of time it has taken the order to make a public statement on this? The pupil contacted them 2 years ago. And then there was an extensive article written at the weekend on Saturday in the Irish Daily Mail by Tom Durley, who interviewed some of Marmion's victims from Belvedere.
It's very unusual, Audrey, for a person who is dead to be named publicly. You know, people do have a right to their good name, and obviously, due to his death, he can't face a trial and a conviction. So I would imagine that was one of the reasons that the Jesuits perhaps hesitated to make his name public. But I think what they have done now is very positive in actively encouraging anybody who was abused by Joseph Marmion to come forward and to seek support.
But it could be very difficult for people listening to his name back in the public domain again many, many decades after they were abused by him. It's very important, isn't it, that they have proper support at this time?
Yes, it is, because, you know, we know from our work at One in Four that the impact of sexual abuse in childhood or in adolescence continues right throughout a person's life. And it's very likely that many of the people who were abused by Joseph Marmion have suffered in an ongoing way. So it is really important that supports would be provided. I don't know what the Jesuits are planning to do, but from our experience of working with survivors who have been abused within an institutional context, be it within the church or, for example, in the last couple of years in Scouting Ireland, many survivors are not comfortable with seeking support from the institution within which they were abused. So it is important that the Jesuits would be arranging for independent support for those people who come forward.
Yeah, because the impact of the abuse on people's lives in many years later, in Tom Durley's article at the weekend, he made the point that many of those who were abused by Marmion, they succumbed to addiction and many lived on the streets afterwards.
Yes, I mean, that's not uncommon. And, you know, we know from research that many people, for example, who are homeless, had an experience of sexual abuse in childhood. We also know from our work in One in Four that, you know, the intense pain and shame and distress that is the residue of child sexual abuse does continue throughout a person's life. And sadly, some people will turn to alcohol or other substances in an effort to deal with that pain, and that of course can so adversely affect a person's life. And you know, I mean, Belvedere is a fee-paying school, as is Clongowes, and one assumes that many of the pupils attending there come from well-to-do backgrounds and therefore would have an expectation that they're going to move on and do well in their professional lives and so on. And sadly, that is often not the case. So people need to be assured that there is good support out there and there is a way through the nightmare of the impact of sexual abuse. But I suppose I would be urging people this morning to take that first very important and very courageous step to actually reach out and ask for that help and support. Yeah.
And we'll give your number at the end of this interview, May, for 1 in 4. And survivors have been asked to contact the Gardaí, to contact Tuzla. But many of them might be wondering this morning, what is the point if justice can't be achieved because Marmion is dead?
Well, I mean, the Gardaí will not be able to conduct an investigation into somebody who is dead. I really don't know what the purpose of contacting the Gardaí at this point would be, unless perhaps they are forming an inquiry into this. I think the other issue that would probably be there for the Jesuits is that in a situation where a criminal investigation can't be pursued, it may well be that some of the victims of Joseph Marmion will want perhaps to go down the civil route and to seek compensation for what they have suffered. And again, I think the Jesuits will need to really consider how they're going to respond to that, because to enter into an adversarial high court situation can often be even more damaging for the survivor. So perhaps some sort of redress scheme or something very non-adversarial maybe should be considered.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Maeve Lewis, Chief Executive of the support organisation 1 in 4, and their contact number is 01662 4070.